Perik Lamed Tes Pasuk Ches. Winding down, Mechamish Lagi Magali Pasuk says, Hinei Va'ah, it has arrived. The word Va'ah is B'lashon Hoive. The fact that the Pashta, the Tameh Hamik was on the Hey, not on the Beis, on the second syllable, not on the first syllable, indicates that this is B'lashon Hoive. Hashem, where we were speaking, Pasuk Ches. Perik Lamed Tes Pasuk Ches, Hinei Va'ah. It has arrived. The day has arrived. The day of Milchemes Gog and Magog has arrived. V'lihiyasa, and it has come to be. Nuam Hashem Elokim Hu Hayom Asher Dibarti. This is the day which I have spoken about. So there's really like a triple emphasis on the day. The day has arrived. V'lihiyasa, it has come to be, and then it says, "This is the day that I have spoken." A triple emphasis. Pasuk Yutes. V'yatzu Yoshe Arei Yisrael. Now, what's going to happen on this day when the enemy is defeated? So it's something very mysterious, which is really impossible to know what this means. It's a very big mystery. We'll try to maybe suggest something, but it says that what's going to happen, they'll come forth, all of those who live in Eretz Yisrael, V'aru, and they will burn, they will consume the Hitziku, Siku also of fire, they're going to ignite. They're going to have fuel. Normally, in ancient times, fuel came from the trees, came from wood. So if you want to cook, the whole world needs energy. If there is no energy, then the world cannot exist. Energy in the ancient times was wood, the forest. In more modern times, it was coal. We mine, deep down into the earth, produce coal, and coal is really, I don't know, when did they invent coal? When did coal become a popular? Gachleish in Torah is wood. It's not coal. I'm talking about regular piece of wood. A piece of wood, a coal. It was made from wood. It wasn't made from they dig in the ground. What is coal today? Mine. Go deep down in the ground, and they extract some type of, I don't even know what it is.
It's coal. It's organic
material that's lived over, supposedly a long time.
But that's not the typical. The Gemara talks about a gacheles. When the Gemara mentions gacheles, it's not referring to what's been mined from deep down in the earth. The Gemara's gacheles is a piece of wood, a tree that's been chopped down.
Charred piece of wood,
which has certain properties, a certain type of wood which is very dry, not your weed wood that over here in the backyard, your tree, you're talking about a certain very high quality wood, which serves as a coal, which what we call a gacheles. But I don't know, we Google it, when exactly did the world become dependent upon the coal industry? Even today, it's still a very important part of the economy, is coal that we mine. Okay, but in any event, over here it says that we know that we live in a world where you must have energy. Today we live in a very modern world, so there are many, many, many forms of energy. There is coal, then there is oil, okay? Oil is a very critical, is a very important, that's really for automobiles, things which move around. And then there is new types of energy. There is solar energy, and then there is nuclear energy, okay? So there are a few nuclear plants in the United States which are still operating that produce energy. So it says to you that when times of Mashiach, no longer will they need any other form of energy, because the energy will be extracted from the weapons. All the weapons that were used by God in their assault, in their ascent to Yerushalayim, will be taken, and that will now become the new energy. They will now consume. The hisiku means hasaka, fire. What's going to be the raw material to light, to ignite? Nesim b'farshim b'mo means to light their ovens, to the automobiles will be able to move with this energy. B'neshek, they will use the weapons. U'bogein, the shields. V'tzina, another word for a shield. B'keshes, the bows. U'v'chitzim, the arrows. U'v'makel yod, and all of the clubs. U'v'remach, the spears. And they will use these materials as fuel for Sheva Shonim for 7 years. Now, what in the world does that mean? How do you use a bow and arrow you use that, you put that in your oven, and that becomes the fuel in order to cook your challah on Shabbos.
These items are for the most part wood. So
you're
saying wood to fuel the needs of 7 years.
All right. So the makel yod is certainly wood. The keshes, a bow,
yes,
is wood.
Wood.
Okay. An arrow is wood. I guess so.
Except for the tip.
Okay, the neshek, okay, the hishiku, the neshek, that's a general term, means weapons. Umogin, shields, uvitsina, those are normally made from metal. Whatever these things are. Okay. So you want to suggest all of these things are wood or leather, which are combustible, and they're all going to be used now as fuel for Klal Yisrael for 7 years. The cost of oil will go down because no one's going to need oil during this period of time. Everyone will have free wood to use in their fireplace in Yerushalayim. Is that what it means?
Yes.
Very unlikely. But we don't live in a world like that today. We don't live in a world today where people have fireplaces. In fact, it's probably illegal already by now because of pollution. Okay, they even built today. Is it even illegal to build a fireplace today in New York? Is it legal?
Yeah,
chimney. It's not pollution. It's not a violation of all the rules of pollution. I don't know, whatever it is. But any of I know the matzah baking factory, it's like, for example, Schatz or matzah baking factory. You can't replicate that. It's illegal. I've been told they have coal deliveries. They have these big trucks that come and bring and they deliver coal. And the fact that the Schatz, there's an enormous amount of pollution that it produces, but it's been grandfathered in since it was built 100 years ago, whatever it was. The old line. So all of these things cannot. Whatever they are. And obviously, there's something about the ovens. The ovens, mm-hmm. These old ovens that are fueled by these natural resources, somehow it seeps into the matzah, into the product, and it tastes better, supposedly. And in modern matzah factory, which is heated by gas or by oil or whatever they're heated by, it's somehow the quality of the heat does not enhance the taste of the matzah. But
it doesn't have any taste.
It does. Brick oven, go into the bake, go into ShopRite. Go into ShopRite and go look at the bread section, and you're overwhelmed by the variety of choices, and each package, each product that they bring on the product, the type of oven that this bread is baked in. And there's obviously a lot of chokhmah in the type of oven and the type of fuel that is used. It enhances the flavor, the taste of something that's so simple, like bread, like flour and water, just like water, right? So there's no. Why are people running around buying a Poland Spring and this water and that water and tap water? New York City, they say it's the best in the world. Obviously, even H2O, there's just something about the quality of where it comes from. There's something that's so simple and so innocent and so pure. I don't know, there's some more ingredients in salt. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, they're minerals.
There are minerals which make a difference. It's not just
H2O.
There's
a contest in the waters that's going on right now. Like locally, New York water is the best thing. You're going to do statewide, you're going to have a contest.
So what makes water taste different?
The minerals.
Minerals. It's not just H2O. There's some other element that you add into the water which enhances. It's natural. It's natural.
The earth that
it's coming out of. Okay, coming out of the earth. So obviously there's more to it. So here it says that in these times it's not going to be necessary to have any other type of fuel. The fuel that they're going to use is going to be fuel that comes from the weapons. Now, modern times, what would that mean for us? Today, I mean, it's not popular anymore, but nuclear power used to be the thing. And that used to be the plan to make the entire country, instead of coal, to develop nuclear power plants all over the country and to fuel the country. Today, it's not very popular, it's very dangerous. And there are new technologies that have emerged, which are safer. So the trend is to do away with nuclear power. They're still building one. I think they approved to build one or two more in the United States. But generally,
around the world, very difficult because of the regulatory system. It's very difficult to get one built. In fact, we may lose one.
It's very dangerous, obviously.
However, other countries like France,
around the world,
they're building and building.
Very significant.
They're building.
Iran,
that's the whole issue with Iran. They're building nuclear power plants for peaceful. So they make believe. We're building, they say we're doing it for medicine, for peaceful. Exactly, it's all nonsense. We all know that. And but what's their argument? Oh, it's for peaceful because nuclear power can be used for energy, for energy. So what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? I'm just making up, I'm just thinking out loud. This is what I'm saying, obviously, is not true. I just want to bring up the idea. What's that when Mashiach's going to come? The United States has an arsenal of nuclear bombs, enough to blow up the world 100 times over, plus Russia as well. So what are they going to do with these massive weapons? What are they going to do with them? It's just, the war will come to an end. The whole concept of war will come to an end. So what are they going to do with the trillions and trillions of dollars that are spent in developing nuclear weapons, all of these missiles, all of this technology. Okay. So they're going to transfer, they're going to direct, it's the energy and the technology and the use of all of these weapons that were made to destroy the world for peaceful purposes, to be productive in this world, for energy, to supply energy to the entire world.
Not so much the warheads, but missiles require a lot of fuel.
A lot of fuel, solid.
So maybe it was instead of diverting the use of fuel or electricity or whatever towards purchases of weapons, it could be diverted for energy.
So obviously, it has to mean something like that. In ancient times, this pasuk is a bit more bizarre. You have a fireplace, and it's not, I guess, in every generation, it can be filled in the way it unseen. In ancient times, you have a fireplace, keeps you warm in the winter, so you put some wood. So instead of going out into the forest and chopping down trees, so you take the bows and arrows. You take the bows and arrows off, the enemy, Goyg, is dead. They left over a large stockpile of bows and arrows. They came, they were going to use to go to war. They're all dead, so we have a stockpile of bow and arrow. You put it in the fireplace, you keep your home warm. And today, we don't have bows and arrows anymore. We have much more sophisticated type of weapons that can blow up the world, destroy the world. So today it would mean is that this energy, this technology, this energy that has been invested, that was originally meant to be used as a weapon, will now be diverted and transformed, converted into a use that will be beneficial for the world in a positive way, of a productive way, and not to destroy the world. It has to mean something along those lines. What?
Israel,
yeah.
Before the war, the army directed them to build hundreds and hundreds of caskets. They were afraid.
Caskets.
And then when there were very few carriages, they brought Hashem. What did they do with that?
Firewood.
No, the wood, they gave it out
for sukkahs. To build sukkahs. Wow, what a beautiful. Unbelievable. Wow. Okay, so it really goes to show. Okay, so it has to mean something along these lines. These are very deep things. Pasukim, Lo Yisu Pasukim, it says, Lo Yisu Eitzim HaSad, that therefore they're going to have energy. It will not be necessary to carry wood from the field. Lo Yach Tivu Min HaYarim, they will not chop down trees from the forest. Ki Van Neshek, the weapons that were being built, being used, Yivaru Eish, they will be the source of fire. They will be the source of fuel. The Shalu Eshol Lelehem, the Jewish people, they will plunder. They will take for themselves the spoils of the enemy. Uvazu Es Boizezehem, they will plunder all of the. These are words which are basically the same exact thing. They will plunder the spoils and use it as a source of energy. Nu'um Hashem Elokim, so says Hashem Elokim. Let's see these two psukim in the Mitzudos, Pasuk Ches. Hinei va'o, ato va'o, hazman b'niyasa, hateshua. The time has arrived. The salvation is here. V'zehu hayom asher dibarti v'yadati bo teshua. The day that I have designated as a time of salvation. Pasuk Tes. B'neshek. Okay, so he's learning very simple, okay, not the whole elaboration of the 21st century. He's saying that these weapons, although they may be metal, okay, let's say you have a metal sword is not combustible, but the handle of the sword was typically made from wood, And thus, they would take the handle of the weapon for fuel. Uvamal keliyat hu kilaynas aruch. It's a long club. Uvaroshay kein machat. And there is a needle, a pointy, a prick in the top. Barzel ubo harugim anoshim bezrika. And they would throw these spears, and they would kill people by throwing them. Sheva shanim. This is going to last for 7 years. Now, the number 7 over here, for whatever reason, in Mechamis and Gemara, is very prominent. We're going to see, so they're going to bury the dead for 7 months. And corresponding to the 7 months of burying the dead, they're going to use the fuel, they're going to use the weapons as fuel for 7 years. So there's something about the number 7, which is very interesting. We know also that times of Mashiach, the light, the Or HaShemesh, is going to be multiplied by 7. 7 times 7. Or some say 7 times 7 times 7. The number 7 somehow becomes a very prominent, important number. Everything becomes multiples of 7. 7 months, 7 years, 7 times 7, like a Yovel, Shemitah Yovel. So these numbers are becoming very prominent. Punishment.
Yeah.
That was also because the Teichah was a punishment for not observing the Shemitah, which was 7 years. Okay, so Sheva Shonim Ki Yuyu Rabim Oid is going to be, there's going to be so many weapons, they'll be able to use the fuel for 7 years. Pasa good es sholu lehem, es umas asher sholu oisom yimei hagoyla, the enemies that have been, which mida connected mida, the enemies which have come and attacked us, have plundered us, have stolen from us our wealth, our everything from us, now they, that's what v'sholu v'sholu lehem, I didn't really translate the words correctly. V'sholu v'sholu means we will now despoil those who despoiled us. We will now take revenge. Those who have stolen from us our sholol, we will now go and steal from them their sholol, which really is us, because everything that they have really originally came from us. Okay, so umos asher sholol osnam b'nei ha'goyla, pasuk yud, that's the next section, it's going to be Rashi. Rashi pasuk tes, the siku means, well, exchange the sin for a samach, which means kemotanu shehesikuhu, an oven that has been heated, b'lashoy mishnah, b'neshek, of v'chol, you know what these words are?
Armura, which means weapons.
Okay, weapons, armaments, no? The nun is not really the right letter. Okay, pasuk yud. Okay, let's see. Radak pasuk chesin radak. Hinei va'ah v'niyasa ba'ah es hayeshua. The time of salvation has arrived. Ki iluhu yisparach mechalal. I'm sorry. Who ayam asher dibarti? Did that I've spoken? Pasuk test yatsu b'biyar v'hisiku kafalin b'yoshanos. Okay, there are many words over here. Obviously, when this happens, we'll really have much better translation of the word uviaru and v'hisiku. There are going to be two different types of combustion. Two different types. What do you mean there are two types of combustion? There's only one type of combustion. Obviously, when Mashiach comes and this happens, it'll be clear what the difference between the word Uvi Aru, Vihisiku, is with regard to the weapons of the Umay Sa'ilam. Pasig Yod Velo Yesu.
One has a very high temperature of melting.
One has a very high temperature of melting. What? So what is that?
We melt the weapons.
You need a higher temperature. And the other is
nuclear fission and nuclear fusion. Both of them are
bad. And one is high, one is a low temperature?
No. It's a different concept.
Okay, so whatever it is, we really do not know what this means. But I really strongly believe, Libi Emerly, whatever that's worth, is that it has to do with nuclear power. The nuclear power, all these bombs and technology that has been developed to destroy the world will now be utilized and diverted for peaceful purposes in order to accomplish things, give energy to the world in ways that we were unable to do so until this point in time. Let's see what this means. They're not going to need to go out into the environment and to pollute the environment by chopping down trees. All of the environmentalists will have a heyday when we'll be able to divert all of the nuclear weapons for energy in the world. No one's going to have to cut down trees. No one's going to have to go and do things which are harmful to the environment. Okay, that's a grammatical term. It's a light, whatever that means. Let's now go to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Let me just make sure I didn't forget anything over here. Okay. right, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudal v'hoya v'yamahu. Okay, on that day, now here we come to the burial. This is a lot of interesting things about this. The burial of Goik. Goik has come with all of his neighbors, all of his cronies, his allies, and they've come to wage war against Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, and they all die. All miraculously, Hashem sends down upon them Dever, Dam, the Eish, Gofris, all the different things that we learned yesterday, all of these miraculous types of retribution, and they're all dead. And how many of them are there? Too many to count. Millions, who knows how many people are, they're all going to be lying all over the place. So now there's going to be a cleanup job, and it's going to take 7 months for the Klal Yisrael to bury the dead. Okay, now that's not a very pleasant job, to bury bodies that are decayed, that are disgusting. Who's going to be leading the way? Zaka. Meshi. What?
If we didn't make the mess.
We didn't make the mess, exactly. And that's exactly the point.
It's Latiris.
What do you say after the Six-Day War?
There were loads of the dead Egyptians in Sinai.
So who buried them?
They just covered it.
If
you drove by, you smelled it.
You can still smell it today. Today you can still smell it.
In those days, yes.
Okay, now this, you know, you read this in the news, it's always in the news, the organization, Rahman al-Atslan, the need for this organization called Zaka. Okay, headed by, what's his name? Meshi Zahav. Is that how you pronounce his name? Meshi Zahav, what's his first name? Anyone remember his first name? They're always in the news, they're always interviewing them. You see me in all the magazines, in Mishpacha magazine, I magazine, and in the news, secular news. They are a very well-respected organization internationally. They're even recognized by the United Nations. The United Nations holds them to be in a very high regard. And their primary role, Rahman al-Islam, is to take care of terrorist attacks. Rahman al-Islam, they come in when it's over, and they assist in Kuwait Hamas, doing things that other people cannot do. And they can always very controversially get into the news about what about the terrorists? Do they clean up after the terrorists also? So no, rightfully so. Terrorists let them sit and rot, whatever. But their expertise is called upon throughout the world. And other natural disasters that take place throughout the world, they are called upon by the international community to come, assist, advise, and help out. Do things that no one else knows how to do. No one else has the ability to do. And they've received very, very high praise. And to some degree, this is a token fulfillment of the Yimos HaMashiach. Because over here, we're going to learn an entire section, is that Klal Yisrael is going to bury the dead. Now, here in this pasuk, they're burying the dead of our enemies. That's not what Zaka does. Zaka buries... Rahman al-Islam has to bury the victims, Klal Yisrael. But yet, when it's not a situation of terrorism, they're very willing to help other people bury the dead of non-Jews, give over their expertise and to bury a non-Jew as well, as long as the non-Jew is not a terrorist who's trying to kill one of us. And it's a very, very great Kiddush Hashem. And this has been acknowledged over and over again since they started this organization. And it's not to be taken lightly. And to some degree, that's exactly what was predicted by Yechezkel 3,000 years ago. To see that how Klal Yisrael has the sensitivity of Kvod HaMeis, and they go all the way, all out, to bury and to take care of the dead in the most dignified way, where other nations, other people would just look the other way and just forget about it and let the bodies just decay where they are and do nothing about it. And that's what this whole section is all about. I'm going to allow them to be buried. Their bodies are not just going to lie over the fields. They're going to be buried in a grave in Eretz Yisrael, where in the Gei Ha'ovrim, in the valley that is called the passing way. Ha'ovrim means to pass. Kidmas Hayam, on the east side of the Yam. Now, what does that mean? I have no idea. What yam are we talking about? It doesn't say Yarden. It says the yam. The yam is the Mediterranean? I mean, what?
Yam Kinneret?
The Kinneret? Is that called the yam? The Kinneret? I don't know.
They call it Yam Kinneret.
Okay, so I don't know. It's not...
The Yam Hamelach?
So let it say... The Yam Hamelach would say the Yam Hamelach. I don't know. Listen, I don't know. It's a very big mystery. Yeah, does yam over here mean the Mediterranean? No, or not, because what, along the East Coast?
No, that's the whole country.
The whole country? So I really don't know. I'm just, it's mysterious what this means. Whatever it means, it means Kidmas Hayam, on the east side of the Hayam, of the Yom. V'chosemes hi es ha'ovrim. This Yam, until the dead are buried, or even after the dead are buried, we have to really read the Mefarshim inside, it's very mysterious what these words mean, it holds back people from passing. Which can mean, I'll throw out some ideas, we'll read inside in a few moments, there are so many dead bodies piled up that you can't even pass. The traffic, they're on the roads. You can't pass. And until the bodies are removed from the roads, there's gridlock. You cannot get from one part of the country to the other part of the country. So they're going to have to be buried in a dignified way so that the people can pass through the area. Others want to say is they can pass, but the problem is if you're carrying in your possession, you're carrying on you fruit, truma, or miser, which must be eaten in a state of tahara, you can't travel anywhere in Eretz Yisrael or in this region because you are automatically going to become tummy, or you even can't go in the water. What? Yeah, midrabanan. Midrabanan, or goy is metame. So, or you even can't pass in the water, because if you pass in the water, automatically there are so many bodies floating in the water, it's going to happen for sure, you're going to become tameh, and the fruit, the bikurim, or the truma, or the maisa will become tameh, so it's a problem. So until these bodies are buried, and removed, and everything is cleaned up, people will be prevented from traveling, either because physically the roads are blocked, or the contamination is so great, you would not want to travel, you would become contaminated, and in the process contaminate all of the fruit and vegetables that you possess, which can only be eaten in the state of Tahira at this point in time in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll see a little bit more in a moment when we get throughout the ideas. It's going to hold back those who pass. The Karvusham, and in this gay, in this valley, which is on the east of the Hayom, where people pass, they will bury their Esgoig, the king, Goik, the Eskol Hamoino, all of his multitudes, all of his people, his entire nation, the Karu'u, and they will call this section Gei Hamoin Goik. Okay, there will be a sign on the roads this way to Gei Hamoin Goik. It's going to be a special burial field for these people.
But see, what's the point of saying that they're not going to make any one, you know, like we bury somebody with kavod, like one thing, you see, they're going to make a
mass grave. Everyone's the same. Not going to distinguish. Not going to distinguish. Pasuk Beis Ukivarum Beis Yisrael. The Jewish people. Who will lead? Who are going to be the ones who are going to lead in the burial of the dead? The Jewish people. They're not going to call in a hired help. Okay, from another country to come and do this work. Okay, you may hire other people from other countries to come and do the construction for you and clean the bathrooms and do other things and work in the kitchen, but this work of burying the dead, which is unexpected, you hire foreigners to go and work in the kitchen, you would think you would hire foreigners to come and bury the dead. No, this work will be done by the Jews, by Jewish people. Ukivarum Beis Yisrael. Why? They don't trust anyone else because Laman Taher SRS, because the goal here is not just to give dignity to the dead. There are two reasons why they're being buried. Number one is dignity, Kavod Hames, give dignity to the dead, even though they're non-Jews, even though they're our enemies. Number two, Tahara. Tahara is, since the land area must be pure, must be Tahar, there may be no contamination. So we have to clean the land for that purpose, and therefore we have to do it ourselves because we cannot trust non-Jews to search for the bones. They're not going to care about the details because Tumah v'Tahara does not mean anything to them. It's like Issa v'Heter. You don't have a goy as a mashkiach in a restaurant. That's not acceptable. a mashgiach in a restaurant has to be a Jew, because to a goy, kashrus doesn't mean anything. A Jew, it means the world. Therefore, when it comes to Tumah V'Tahara, it means the world. So therefore, the ones that are going to be doing the burial will be the Jews. Leman taher es aretz shiva chodoshim. And this effort, this project will last for 7 months. Why 7 months? I don't know, but that's what it says. There were 7 years we're going to live off their energy of the weapons, and for 7 months there will be a project for Klal Yisrael to go out into the land and to find every bone, every teeny little bone, and bury it. And by the way, this
is related maybe to Shiva.
Yes.
To Shiva, they're sitting Shiva for them.
Seven days.
Shiva is for 7 days, so we're mourning over our enemies. We're mourning over their death. Maybe
it's God's creation.
Hashem's
God
creation.
7 days to create the world. That's why the Shiva is
the number seven. Seven is always, of course, the number which represents Olam Hazeh.
7 days for life to be created.
So 7 days to go backwards.
So we observe Shiva
for 7 days. Okay. So the 7 days. So this can be for 7 months. Okay. Let's not do too many pesukim at one time. Let's go back and look at Pasuk Yud Aleph first. Back in the Mitzudot started. Pasuk Yud Aleph. We learn about the burial. Etain legoig. It's in the Lamar, la anashav. Doesn't mean the king. It means all of his people, the whole nation. Mikoim sham kever. Hu kimo hafuch. You have to, the words, no, if we were writing the words, we would not put them in this order. We would write, mikoim kever sham. Okay, so it's a style of writing where we interchange the word sham and kever. A place of burial. Kimo kol hira oye bakodesh. Okay, we exchange the words here as well. Kol hera b'kodesh oyev, whatever that means. B'mishpatay kol oyev, any enemy hera that has caused harm b'kodesh. Ritzon loymar etin lachem mekayim kever sham Yisrael b'artzam. They will be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It's very frightening because many Jews are not buried in Eretz Yisrael. How many Jews are buried in Chutz Liaretz? How many Jews are buried in Russia? Millions, tens of millions, maybe even more. How many Jews are buried in Poland? Okay, how many Jews are buried in the United States? So most people who die in Chutz Liaretz, the vast majority, don't end up in Eretz Yisrael. Here, Rav Henkin was very against Rav Henkin. He said, it's a waste of money. He said, it's a waste of money to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now, that's a chiddush because Chazal said something called being buried in Eretz Yisrael, but he was very mocked that when he died, he said, give the money to Tzedakah. Don't spend the money. Put me on a plane and spend. Today, what does it cost? Today, it costs like $3,000 just for the tickets. It costs more money to transport the dead than to go sit on a seat. If you sit on the plane itself, so you can get a cheap flight for $500, you go to Aeroflot, go to Kiev, go to Alaska. You could stop off in Alaska. I think you can get a ticket now for $300, round trip. I'm not mistaken. You have to go to Alaska. What's so bad? I would go. You go to Alaska on WOW Airlines, WOW, something like that. In the right time, in the right place, and you wait, you're willing to wait.
What does it take, 24 hours?
More, maybe. Okay, for $300, but to go in a casket, in the cargo, I think it costs something like $3,000, okay? And that's today. Today's already cheaper. Years ago, it was probably more expensive. So Rav Henkin, he said it's a waste of money. Give the money to Tzedakah. It's the biggest chus that the money we spend on going to Eretz Yisrael should be given to Tzedakah than going to Eretz Yisrael. That opinion is not very popular, I can tell you. Rav Palm, we once spoke about this. Rav Palm says that a person who did not live in Eretz Yisrael, you should be makbid on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that if you did not live in Eretz Yisrael, you have no right in your death to contaminate the land. A dead body is tamei. So by having the body brought to Eretz Yisrael, you're adding contamination to the land. A person has no right to contaminate the land, the holy land, when he did not spend time when he was alive living in the land. So Rav Palm said, Rav Palm, he was buried in Chutz, he's buried over here, Rav Palm, he didn't want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, so how are we making today? So people, they have children who live in Eretz Yisrael, or you have an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, you give money to Eretz Yisrael, you support Eretz Yisrael in different ways. So then once a person is a supporter of Eretz Yisrael, so then you're entitled to be buried there. You're not in a violation of the Yerushalmi. But at least it's the Musar Haskel. The person, there are people who have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, zero. They don't give money to the UJA. They don't visit. They don't have children there. They have nothing. So for those people, It's not so simple. It's really not so simple to go and to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It's a violation of what it says in the Yerushalmi. In any event, look at that. There are many Jews who are not zeichet to kavur ba'aretz. Like Yaakov Avinu, we learn the makar of kavur from Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu says, "Take up my bones, Yosef, the Atzmos Yosef." Yaakov Avinu as well. Yaakov Avinu, after he died, immediately he was buried in Eretz Yisrael. And Yosef told his children, "When I die, take out my bones." And by that, we know that all of the Shvatim, their bones were taken out of Mitzrayim to go to Eretz Yisrael. And yet, look at this Goig, our arch enemy, the Enikloch of Esav. They're all going to be buried Shom. They all have kavura in the land. Now, are they coming back at Tchias HaMesim? No, it doesn't seem like it. But yet, somehow, being buried in the land, somehow, obviously, there's some type of milo, there's some type of benefit. The valley of those who pass. What does this mean? Begay, the Mitzvah stuff, it says, Begay, Sha'ivim bo el kidmas hayam, le mizracha shel hayam. So he learns as follows. He learns that it's the valley which was the highway to get to the east side of the yam. So they're not being buried on the east side of the Yam. They're being buried on this highway, on this valley, which was the way of transport. What does that mean according to the Mesudos? Mapeles marbis hapigarim, the abundance of the bodies that have fallen dead on the ground is so much, is so enormous, that the roads are closed. The roads are closed. Tistoim the tiskar esayvim shama. The roads are shut down. Kilo yimsu sham mokam pani lavor ocham. Okay, there's no place to pass by there. Vehagai hahu yiyen nishkach, and that valley will be forgotten. Meraglev ne adam. That valley will be, in other words, that highway will be permanently shut down. Okay, that's what it's saying. It's chesemesias, even forever, forever, no more. That's what he learns. This area that until this point in time was a highway, was a road to get to the east side of the Yam, is going to be shut down permanently because there are so many dead bodies that are piled so high. Sham of the lovachin yikbu sham es goig des haman ama goig, and his nation will be buried in this location. Next words of the Mitzudos. The Karu, and it will be called Shem Hagai Yikru, will be called Gei Hamoin Goik. It's a lema b'zeh Hagai Nik Bodim Hamoin Goik. This is where Goik is buried. Pasek Yudbeis Lamanta Her, and then there's going to be a process. This is explaining for 7 months. The Jews are going to go out and bury the dead. It's a lema Lo Yikburum Ba'avur Kivaydam. They're not going to be buried Ba'avur Kivaydam for their honor, but it was the honor of the dead. Ki Im Lamanta Her Es Aretz. The primary reason why they're going to be buried over here, he says, not because of Kavod Hames. Okay, that's a little bit of a contradiction, because the other Mepharshim disagree with that. Other Mepharshim, they hold that it is. It's an addition. In addition to Kavod Hames, it's also going to be L'man Taher, but the Mitzvah says that it's not on their honor. I guess he feels that our enemies, we don't have any obligation to give honor to our enemies. Look, that's exactly the whole controversy a couple of weeks ago with Zaka, when Rachmana Litzlan, there was a terrorist attack. We couldn't give a hoot about the terrorists. Who cares about them? That's not what we're here for. Let call in the sanitation department. Let someone sweep up their bodies and throw them in the garbage. We're here for Kvod Hames of Klal Yisrael. We have no obligation towards these people. And you know, he took a very strong stand. Good for him. Meshi Zahav. He took a very strong stand. Like, it was a very unpopular thing. He was living in a very liberal world. And everyone is the same. Just because a person's a terrorist, the terrorist is also a victim. Isn't that the crazy world we live in today? So the international community, especially with the Jews, you have to also give honor to the dead. He said, "I don't give a hoot." He was very unpolitically correct in his, and we're very proud. That's right. Someone has some seichel today. Baruch Hashem. But sign a leimar lo yikbudim ba'avur kavaydam kiim lamataris aretz v'shiva chadashim. And 7 months, yisasku bikvurasam kirabim yiyu, they will involve themselves for 7 months because there are going to be so many of them. It's not going to be a job that can be done very quickly. It's going to be done right away. You know, it's very frightening. Just even was last week or 2 weeks ago, they brought lekever someone who was killed 9/11. So we're dealing over here. How many years?
Identified.
identified.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're still working to identify with DNA. So isn't that amazing? It's been so many years. How many years has it been? How many years has it been? 16 years, 2001. 16 years, and they're still being oisek in kvura for the people who died 9/11. That's a very big credit to America, is that kvod hames is significant, that we're still interested in being mevarer. There should be for the family some type of closure, a makom, for they can identify that this is their relative. That's a very big, the Chazal very clearly in these psukim over here, they say that's a very big maila, that's a zuchus to have that sensitivity. Look what goes on with cremation, the whole United States, there's a craze with cremations, it's an epidemic that people, the cremation, there's no recognition.
Was accused in 2004 of destroying the crematorium in Israel.
Destroying?
The crematorium, and some guys came in and they took it out of business.
You mean a crematorium, they did it out of business, so what's so bad?
There was a building with
they burned the Jews rather than bury them.
Right, so they stopped it, right.
People in Israel.
So they stopped it, right?
No, so Zaka, they were accused, they denied it.
What were they accused of? What were they accused of? What?
Destroying it.
They
went in
and they destroyed the building.
So
that Jews could not be burnt anymore.
Right.
So they
Jews were burnt.
Vigilantes. Vigilantes in destroying property. Gezo. Okay, whatever it is. Pasig Yogim, let's now that we did over here, okay, that we did through Pasig Yudbeis. We did through Pasig Yudbeis, and now let's see what it is in Rashi. Going back to Pasig Yud Aleph, Etin Lagoig Makoim Yud Aleph and Rashi, I'll give Lagoig Makoim Shom Kever. Makoim Shehe Shom Kever Lohem, the place of burial, Lefi Shahu Mizari Shal Yeves. So Rashi quotes this very popular, beautiful medrash. They are the descendants. This event takes us all the way back to Noach. All the way back to the day which happened after the Mabel. What happened after the Mabel? Noach comes out. Vayochel Noach Isho Adama. Vayesh min Hayayin Vayishkar. Is that the right word? Vayishkar became intoxicated. Who witnessed this event? Shem Chom and Yefes. So what did Chom do? Castrated his father. Right, he took advantage of the fact that his father.
Some of the proportions say that it was Canaan who did it, and he called his father, and he didn't do anything about it. He didn't rectify.
He was silent. He allowed it to be done.
It's Canaan,
the grandson. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
still,
the
pasuk addresses Chom. The three sons witnessed their father in a state of disgrace. It's a very powerful lesson. When a child sees his parent acting in a way that's not proper, so how do you react? So Noach, from whom the whole world came, the whole world comes from Noach, his three sons witnessed their father in a state of disgrace. Chom took advantage. He took advantage. He realized, we are now going to inherit the entire world. We are only three people, and the world will be divided amongst the three brothers. We may have a problem. Our father may have another child. Our father's still a young man. He may father more children. There'll be a fourth child, a fifth child, a sixth child, and then our estate will be diminished. So I don't want my estate to be diminished. I want to have a third of the world. So nothing less than one third. So he went and he castrated his father. And that's an incredible insight into the wickedness of such a person, to take advantage when a person's father is in a state of weakness. And he took advantage for his own benefit. And when Noach woke up, he came back to his senses, he cursed him, Or Kanan Eved Avodin Yeh Lachiv. He's a cursed, Lalach, what was it? Lechav. He's a cursed person. All the slaves in this world come from Chom, because they're cursed people. What's the curse? And it's a very powerful lesson. Don't take advantage of your brother or your fellow when they're in a state of weakness. Everyone has a time of weakness. No one is on top of the world every single day. Even the most powerful, successful people, they have days, they have weak moments. I noticed that the solar eclipse. Someone told me they had in New Jersey, in Lakewood. So there were some frum people that were had the glasses, and they're watching the solar eclipse, and a whole group of non-Jews were passing in the area. So they made a very big Kiddush Hashem, and the Mamish went over to them, and the Mamish embraced them, invited them, come, look, we have the glasses, come. And they, you know, they engaged them in conversation, they gave them the glasses, and they made a very big Kiddush Hashem. And one of the rabbis there, he told them, what do we learn from this? Even the sun has a bad day. it's not always good. You have to recognize, you know, everyone has a bad day. You have to just accept it. Even the sun. They wrote the sun. It was very nice. Very Kiddush Hashem. But in any event...
Weren't Jews slaves to the Romans at times?
Well, no. That was only a temporary thing. That was part of the Churban. But we're talking about people whose role in this world is to be a slave. Okay? There are people, and we live in a world... slavery is a thing of the past, right? So... Chavetz Chaim says the reason why we don't have slaves today is not because we should not have slavery. We're not deserving. Man, Adam, has fallen to such a low, it's not deserving that another man should serve him. But ideally, if a man is holding where he should, it's roy, it's fitting for other men, for a man to serve a man. And who are going to be the servants? Those that are cursed. Canaan, Cham, they took advantage of a person in a moment of weakness, terrible, terrible sin, and that reveals a certain lowliness of their neshama, and that's why they have to be servants, slaves to a man who is great. Unfortunately, man is no longer great anymore, and therefore we are not deserving that another human being should serve us, and that's why slavery has been abolished. I told you this whole idea is that even though slavery was abolished, but still, you know, things were still done by human beings. It's a service-oriented world where I have a product. So who made the product for you? Who made the computer for you? Who put the pieces together? People, human beings. Who did everything that you have, it used to be, was assembled or was produced very carefully by a human being. We now live in a world where robots do everything for us. You order something, right? So you used to go to the store. There was a person behind the counter, and you say hello to him, and he helps you. So he's not your slave. You're paying a lot of money for the service. But think about it. A human being is serving you. A human being is assisting you. I have a need. I need help. You will be, a human being is going to assist in helping me. Today we've fallen so low. When we buy something, there's no human beings. You go on a computer, you type in what you want, you find what you want, you go to Amazon, you find what you want. Amazon has a factory where there are no human beings. They don't even have lights because no one needs to see. The robots can see in the dark. They don't have air conditioning or heat because the robots can see in the dark, can be good, operate in all temperatures. And you type what you want, and within seconds, the robot goes, gets it, puts it in a box, puts it over here, and a drone comes and drops it off in your front door. No human beings. Nothing. Why? It's not a mila.
Programs the best route to get all the merchandise the
fastest
way.
But
she goes up and down the aisle. It programs it, go get this item, then this item, because it's a shorter route.
Shorter route, and gets to you within seconds, but there's no human intervention. It's all done by machines. Why? Is that a mila or a chasaran? So they'll tell us, a mila, right? No, it's not. It's a chasaran. It's because we're not roy. We're not worthy that another human being should do something for us. So we need robots to do things for us. In ancient times, you had slaves, human beings, the tzelem elokim, and a slave is still the tzelem elokim, would serve you. Because you are a dignified person, you do the ritzayin habayre, so you are deserving that another human being should serve you. This is where we're holding today. We've gone all the way down to the lowest possible level. In any event, over here we're going through this. Rashi is telling us what happened by Noach. Noach comes out of the teva. He becomes intoxicated. His youngest son Cham takes advantage. He's cursed. Now there are two more children. How do they react? How does Shem and Yefesh react? So they cover their father. They come to conceal, to shelter their father from what their father has done. They don't look at him. Now, why did they did it for different reasons? Shame, forgetting the whole Torah. Shame. He did it. Shame did this. Shame did it in order. His kavana was that his father should be dignified. He did it with. I'm getting confused. The kavana of shame was not the same kavana as Yefes. Yefes, he just did not want it to spare his father the shame. His kavana was not to restore him to a state of dignity. A shame intent by covering his father was to restore his father to a state of dignity. Therefore, each one was rewarded mida keneged mida. Shame, who covered his father to restore his dignity, was rewarded that his children will merit the talis shel mitzvah. Every time you walk into shul, you put on your talis, oiter or kesalma, and you put on a beautiful talis, not the tzitzis. The tzitzis come from Avram Avinu. Imichut v'yat seroch now. But, you know, the talis skatan, the beged is not a beged shel mitzvah. The talis skatan is just to absorb sweat. It has four corners and has tzitzis. So the talis skatan is not a beged shel mitzvah. The talis gadol is a beged shel mitzvah. Why do we have a talis gadol when we daven? It's in the merit of shame. Because shame, he covered the nakedness of his father, not because he only wanted to take away his embarrassment. His kavana was to restore his father to a state of honor. Of honor, that was his intent. Mida keneged mida, his descendants were given the talis shel mitzvah, a garment of mitzvah, which is a dignity for Klal Yisrael. You go out and you see someone wearing a talis; it's beautiful. Yefes, he wasn't so sophisticated. He just said, "Listen, I don't care my father's dignity. I'm not here to go restore his honor. I just want to take away his shame." He's in a state of embarrassment. He's in a state of disgrace. Let me remove the shame. So I'll cover him over with a shmata. He also was rewarded. Mida keneged mida. That his descendants, which is Yefes, and Yefes are everyone, it says over here, now we have to reconcile this with what we learned before, because L'chayr Goig, we said Goig is really Esav. And Esav comes from shame. But yet this Chazal is telling us that Goig is also a part descendant of Yefes. There must have been some intermarriage. It's also Yefes. And Yefes' kavanah was to remove the disgrace. So what was his reward? His disgrace was removed. He was given for kvura, burial. Burial is the removal of the disgrace of the body. The body is exposed on the field. It's disgraceful. When you cover the body, the disgrace has been removed. Is that honor? No, that's not necessarily honor. It's just the removal of disgrace. So here is where he's being rewarded. At the end of days, Hashem is finally coming to reward Yefes for his act of kindness in removing the disgrace of his father. It took all of these years to happen, but Hashem never forgets. Hashem never forgets an act of kindness. Hashem will always reward you no matter how long. This may very well be one of the longest rewards. Think of all the things that happened in world history. Hashem always, it takes 100 years to get rewarded. It takes 1,000 years to be rewarded. This event, what is taking place? What, 4,000 years, something like that? When was the Malbim? What year was the Malbim for Maaseh Bereishis?
1656.
No, it can't be 16.
Okay, here.
Avraham was born in the year. Avraham was born in the year 1948.
Right. Yes.
100 years before.
Yes. 1656,
please. Oh, 16. Okay, right. I don't know the numbers. I don't know what comes first, one or two. So 16.
Also the big doll,
middle bubble. 16.
1656.
And Mashiach is now 5777. So how long did it take? And so this didn't happen yet. So even if it happened today, so how many years was it between the time of the act of kindness to the reward? So how many thousands of years is that? 4,000 and change, whatever. What is it? So it's quite a long time. Other events we have many events in Chazal. Mida keneged mida, Hashem rewards a nation, Hashem punishes. 1,000 years, 500 years, 2,000 years. But here, look at this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting until time of Mashiach in order to reward Goig by giving him kivura. Let's see Rashi again. Rashi here says, Rashi once says, "Etein legoy mekayim sham kever, mekayim sheyeh sham kever lohem, lefi shemizayr shel yefes, shekisa es ervas aviv, lefichach therefore zacha likvura, he was zeichet to kvura. Gei ha'ivrim, the valley of those who pass, sheshgei, shesham from over there, oivrim el yom kineres." So I told you, I don't know what the yom is. I really didn't know. I mean, I never listened to this is Mahari Kora. It says come out the same thing. He Rashi says it's the Yom Kineres, the Kineret. And this valley is the valley from where we go to the Yom Kineret. Misham Lohavi to bring Perois Ginoisar Tamid. The Ginoisar is the name of a place, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? Ginoisar is a name of a place that's near the Kineres. And they would transport. I guess you have a waterway. You have a port. From there, they would go. They would transport, and therefore, they're not going to be able. That this valley is the valley that the trucks would go on in order to get to the Kineres to pass to transport the fruit. This valley is going to be the place where it's going to be filled with dead bodies. Kidmas Hayom b'Mizrach, on the east of Yom Ginosar. That's the Targum Yoinasan. It's near the Kinneret. So he learns there's a yam called Yam Kinneret, and the Targum is telling there's another yam called the Yam Ginosar. Now what does this mean? The words over here, it prevents people from passing. In other words, the dead bodies, Sheroiv Pigorim Sheyiplu Sham, the abundance of dead bodies that are lying on this valley and this road, Yachdilu Es Oivrim Me'avor, they cannot pass. Lefichach, therefore, Yamdu Aleim, that's why the Jews are going to come here, the Yikbiru Oisam, and they're going to bury the dead in this location. Umenachim Pasra B'Sifo Yachzmu Es Apam. It does not mean they physically can't pass because there are too many. It's blocking the stench. The roads are clear. The dead are on the side. They're in the valley, but you can't go down the road because the stench of the dead bodies decaying is so intense. You don't want to go there. Yachsimu esapam. They close. They hold their nose. Milariach recha pegorim, from smelling the stench of the dead bodies. So the chasemis means there's so many dead, they're holding their nose, all those that pass. Pasik, okay, that's it for Rashi. Radak, pasik yud aleph, v'hoya mekoyim sham kever, k'moy hafuch mekoyim sham kever, v'chein kol heira oyev ba'kodesh, okay, k'moy kol oyev heira ba'kodesh, exactly what it says in the seven of the mitzudos, af eish tzalecha teichleim, k'moy af tzalecha eish teichleim, Kol tisavoyin, kol avoyin tisavoyin. All different examples where the words can be willing to make it make sense. You switch on the words. V'hademim lochem, v'ra'am k'mosh, v'chastam v'sef, v'michlo b'chelik ha'dikdukim yimenu. V'yonasam tirgim asar, the place, koshar, leves kivura. A place that's fit. A place that's fit. In other words, we had this idea, we had this thing, the Gemara talks about that there's certain, like Maris Machpelah. Maris Machpelah is a land that's fit for burial because it's not fit for cultivation. It's very rocky land. It's like a tree. You go to Chevron. In Chevron, it's the earth. It's very. You get a sense. It's all stone. It's not a place pasture. You don't see a lot of grass. It's very, very rocky, and therefore, indeed, Hashem b'hashkocha pratis, He brought them to this location in order that good land should not be wasted. If the goyg umogoyg, if they would die along the fertile fields of Eretz Yisrael, then a whole industry would have to be shut down because that land was used to produce wine, to produce fruits, and now there are so many dead bodies, we have to bury them over here, so this land has gone to waste. The Hashgacha Pradis, according to Targum, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka brought them to a place which is fit, it's kosher, l'kvura. If they have to be buried, this indeed would be the ideal place to bury, because anyway, we're not going to go use this land for cultivation, for farming. So it's very good. We'll talk and bury them over here. Because it's a hard land, it's hard rock. With all the technology, they can probably do very quickly, no? Whatever. Uvidrash lefishak shekisu. Now he quotes a drash. He quotes the medrash lefi because shekisu they covered shame v'yafes ervas aviem. So therefore, shame whose intent was l'shem shemayim. His intent was not just to remove his father's shame. When he saw his father in a state of weakness, he wanted to restore his father. He wanted to bring him back that he should be healed. So he was like a greater kavanah. He was zocha shame litzitzis batalis. The tzitzis on the talis, which the first I think really mean primarily the talis, because the tzitzis comes from Avraham Avinu. V'zocha yefes l'kavura ba'aret Yisrael, but yefes, whose intent was not as noble, his intent was, my father now is sick, he's vulnerable, he's in a weakened state. I'm not going to exert myself to restore him to his greatness. I just want to minimize the damage. I'll cover him over, he should not be naked. So he was zeichet to a lower level of reward, where he was given kavura, which also just takes away the disgrace, but it's not a noble, a covet of living with a garment. According to the simple interpretation, Harei Kosov, it says, Laman Taris Aretz, he's going back and repeating the pasuk, Gei ha'ivrim ba'ifsa ha'gai, in that valley, sh'ayvim derech Allah, they pass on, kidmas hayam, le'mizrach hayam, ve'loi perash eze yam. Okay, like I started with in this today, the pasuk is not telling us which yam, v'hinei, hayu be'eretz Yisrael yam mizrachi v'yam aravi. There are different rivers. Are they still there today? Some of these rivers have dried up. It's not necessarily we even know what the rivers are because rivers in there, it's on the middle, in the Middle East, come and go. Okay, due to heat, they're all gone. The wadis, right? They're all gone. So it could very well be the same way the wadis, all those, the network, this very very complex network of rivers. No, there are some that are dry permanently. We know from maps, we know from satellite images, there are certain rivers that used to pass through Egypt. We know, we can see the indentations, and water doesn't pass through anymore, period. Not winter, not summer, not spring, not fall. It's a mitzias. Okay, it's a mitzias, is that things come and go. There are new rivers today that didn't exist in the past. It's a mitzias, so it could very well be. It used to be. So we don't know, so it could very well be that in ancient times, we would be shocked to know there were different whole network of rivers in Eretz Yisrael Mamish that existed that today don't exist. So you have a city. Did you know that this city was once a river, a big massive river going through over here? We would never even realize this. So that's what it says. So there were different rivers, the Yam Mizrachim, Yam Aravim, Yonis, and Tirgim, Bechilas, Migozosa, Madnach, Yam Ginesar. Okay, Vuhu Yam Kineret, like we said before, I don't know exactly what these words mean, but it means over here, it means like he says that it's the Yam Kineret, it's the Yam Kineret, Ginesar. Ginesar is the place where the Kineret is. Techesemes hi esoivim, Chesemes poil yoitse lashlishi. You cause others to be withheld. Ratzolaymar ki ba'ashas ha-harugim. Ashas means the stench of the harugim. Ta'asse lo'ivim derech sham shiyachsimu v'yis girbu apehem erech hara. Due to the stench of the dead, so anyone that passes along this road has no choice but to hold his nose. Due to the stench, v'tirgim b'nison v'samcho hi l'srein turaya. It's near the mighty mountains. Two mountains. I'm not sure what he means. He has a new interpretation of Chesemes. I don't know what he means by this, but we'll leave with that. Okay, so this is pretty much... Okay, so after Pasuk Yud Gimel, there's more about the Kavura, which we have to discuss. The Kavura goes on. There's more to mention, and we'll learn, we'll pick it up tomorrow.